the really heavy things that we discuss. We figured we'd lighten it up. We made a little video. And so with some of the kids here at Crosspoint, and I want to be clear, what we're doing in this video is not tempting kids, but it's our version of a video that was made about delayed gratification. Without further ado, turn your attention to the screen.
You have to decide if you eat it now or if you hold on to it and eat it later and then get two. Does that make sense? Okay.
Something more to this.
The best part was Brian had no idea what that was about. So he was the perfect guinea pig. So yeah, that was fun. Love the opportunities to get our kids involved in art, you know, just all that. It's just a fun time. And of course, my own son, the first one to put the marshmallow in his mouth and eat it. But you know, pastor's kids, right? So anyways. But no, we're continuing this series called Freedom, and I think that the result of this, you know, it is a heavier topic, right? But I think the result of this series is there's going to be some significant freedom experienced through the way that we achieve those tools, and we realize the tools that God has already given us to be able to fight against the temptations that do come at us. And so what I would love for you to do today is if you just prayerfully listen to this message through the lens of what might be one of your top one or two greatest temptations that you deal with. This is really a really important part of the message for today. If you would listen to and experience this teaching time through that lens of what might be a primary struggle for you. If you're comfortable doing this, would you maybe even consider writing it down on your program in that note-taking space, or writing it in a note-taking app that you have on your phone? You could even fold it up if you don't want the person sitting next to you to see what it is that you struggle with. But I'll give you a few just to give you an idea of where we're going with this. For example, some would say that, you know, honestly, I'm really vulnerable of overeating, right? Or I've got an addiction to sugar. Others would say it's overspending, right? You know that you shouldn't buy anything else, and yet when it's on sale, it's like you lose all the power of resistance, and you justify the purchase by telling yourself how much money you saved, right? And you tell your spouse that you saved money, and it's like I really, this is, it's you're welcome that I bought it now when it was on sale, right? And we justify it like that, and you know that you lost money, but you tell yourself that you saved, and you justify the overspending and buying something you didn't necessarily need with money you didn't necessarily have. And for others, even in a church like Crosspoint, it might be something else. It might be some sort of a substance of some sort. This is incredibly common. As we all know today, there's something in a bottle or even something else, however you do it, right, that seems to have more power over you than you may have the ability to resist it, okay? And so others are battling with lust, and the reality being, it's according to many studies, this would actually be a very high percentage of people. Some just hate this struggle, yet sometimes still find themselves struggling with it. Some are tempted to criticize. It's almost like some people have taken this concept of criticism to like a spiritual gift level. You know what I'm saying? If it's you, you're so good at it, right? You can pick anything apart. You've already found 10 things about this service alone that you don't like, and we're half over. We're just getting going, and so I'd be curious to see what you come up with the remaining half. But some, like we talked about last week, are going to kick back, right? They're going to go, you know what? I'm so glad that person is hearing this message because that person is so messed up. Right? And I don't have any temptations. I don't have any weaknesses. What you can write in your notes is the word pride with a capital P. And just put that in there because we're all vulnerable somewhere, right? Every single one of us. I don't care how long you've been a follower of Christ. I don't care how long you've been alive. If you just are just beginning the idea of giving your life to Christ, every single one of us has something. We're all vulnerable in some area. And honestly, I really hope that we will all listen to this very openly through the lens of what perhaps might be your biggest temptation area. So I want to revisit again today our key text. We looked at this last week, and we're going to look at it every week of this series, okay? So this is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and it's a passage that's very truthful and gives us hope. So if you have your Bibles with you, can turn there or you can follow along on the screen, starting with verse 12. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. You all know pride comes before the fall, right? Verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. In other words, what Paul's saying here is to be human is to be vulnerable to temptation. He's saying, don't ever think that you're above it. The moment you think, hey, I couldn't be tempted here, it's when the enemy often really ramps up his approach. I like to think that I'm pretty disciplined in some areas of my life. I like to think, and my wife would probably argue with me on this, I like to think I eat pretty good, okay, at this point in my life. Because you got to hear me out on this, okay? I used to, when I was younger, I would, you know, get up for breakfast. I could down 3 or 4 donuts in one setting, chase it with a 20-ounce Mountain Dew before 8 a.m., and then a few hours later, I'd eat an entire pizza by myself. Later on in the day, a couple of cheeseburgers and a side of fries, another Mountain Dew, call it a day, right? Some snacks in between here and there, maybe another box of donuts. I don't know. I just would do this, didn't even think about it. And one day it hit me. I was like, I'm not getting any younger. Because it used to be when I was younger, everybody'd be like, you know, that's going to catch up with you one day. And I'm like, no, it ain't. And then it started to, and I was like, oh, man. And so I was like, it's not fun to change that, okay? It's not that you could, this has been one of mine. But I recognized I needed to change some of my eating habits. I got to the point where I had this thought, you know, because of some practices in my life and the fact that I've got a wife who is a lot more disciplined than I am and doesn't keep a lot of junk food in our house. I got to the point where I was like, you know what? I'm not that vulnerable anymore. That is until days like this past Friday, when a big bag of the miniature Reese's peanut butter cups showed up in our house, like big bag of these things. They're already unwrapped. Like they're not, like ain't nobody got time for the wrapper on the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. And then it's got like the secondary wrapper that's inside. It's like a cupcake thing. And half the time you peel that thing off, you pull off half the peanut butter cup with it. It doesn't work. And so these are already unwrapped. And so I think the reason, you know, again, why I'm normally, you know, not thinking I'm very vulnerable to this is because those types of things aren't always in our house. And so when I see these things, it's like there's this beam of light around them. And I'm just like, you know what? Not today, Satan. I put them in the cupboard and I go to the other side of the room or the other side of the house and I distract myself with other things. Later on, I'm like, I should go to the cupboard and just see if they're still there. Just verify. And so I go and I open up the cupboard. Sure enough, they're still there. And I'm like, you know, sometimes my family members need help opening packages and jars and stuff, so I should do them a favor and open this for them. So I open up the Reese's and I'm like, I'll just smell them, you know. And they smell so good, so processed, so bad for you, right? And I reach in, I'm like, I'll just feel them, you know. It's all good. And then sooner or later, Martha comes back and I've got half the bag gone. And she's like, I needed those for cupcakes. And now you've eaten, I don't have enough. And I'm like, but I can go get more. And she's like, no, that those are not cheap. And so, but anyways, we talked about last week, right? The moment you think that you're standing firm is when you could be very, very vulnerable to sin. Those who say, you know, I don't really need this today. Can I just say, you may need it the most of all. The reality is so many times people feel so incredibly guilty just because of the temptation itself. We think, I got tempted. I'm such a failure as a Christian. I was tempted again. And Paul is telling us to be human is to be tempted. The question is, what are we going to do about that temptation? What are we going to do with that temptation? Coming to Christ does not mean there's going to be now an absence of temptations in our lives. This means proclaiming war on the temptation that is already there. The good news is you don't have to fight that temptation alone. This is what Paul says in verse 13 as he continues the passage. He says, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide, what is he going to provide? A way out, so that what can you do? You can endure it. This is amazing news, church. Quite honestly, this is why many people come to Christ to begin with, is because we've been gripped by something that seems to have more power over us than our ability to resist. And so I want to talk today about how we actually, what role we have to play in this, how we actually resist those temptations when they come up into our lives. But in order to understand how to resist, I want to start with the process of temptation, okay? I read an article that talked about the five steps that happen in every single one of us, every single time we're faced with temptation. And so every time we're going to do the wrong thing, these five steps manifest themselves in some way, shape, or form. They can either happen in a matter of days, weeks, years, or like we saw in the marshmallow video, they can happen in a few moments. And so if you're taking notes, the process of temptation, these are the steps toward temptation and sin. The first is an idea, okay? It starts with an idea or a thought, then that idea turns into an exploration of that idea, okay? The imagination comes into play, and then when we've explored it, we begin to justify it, right? Justification, we say, it'll be all right. It's not going to be that bad. Actually, it'll start to help things if I do this. And so it's going to be good. It's going to be good. It's going to work. Then we make a decision. So any temptation can be interrupted at any point in this process. But as we get closer and closer to carrying out what that temptation is tempting us to do, this is the process. Eventually, we make a decision. We've decided we're moving forward with the process of giving into this thing, and then we commit that sin. Now, it's actually very argued today at what point in the consideration process it becomes a sin. But for our intents and purposes today, we're going to talk about the act itself as the sin. Okay? So an idea. I would like some mini peanut butter cups, right? Then there's exploration. I can taste them already. Justification. They're already wrapped, unwrapped. I've been working really hard lately. I deserve these things. Decision, I'll just smell them. I'll just hold a couple of them in my hand. All of a sudden, there's only a few left. How did this happen, right? Idea maybe for you, buying another outfit is something that goes against what you've been trying to do. And obviously, buying an outfit in and of itself isn't necessarily a sin, right? But you've got 18 other outfits that you have never worn. You're in debt. You made a promise not to buy anymore. And so you have an idea. I feel kind of alone. I feel kind of empty on the inside. Buying an outfit would make me feel better about myself and my situation. And so exploration, right? I can see the Instagram post now. I can see how my friends are going to react to it. This is going to generate a whole bunch of likes. And, oh, girl, you look so good. Emoji, smiley face, heart emoji, fire, right? Justification. I haven't bought one since, like, Thursday, right? And so it's okay. Decision. I'll go online. I'll just see if it's on sale at all. Go online. Sure enough, it's 25% off. That's good news. God is providing savings for me, right? Decision, we've made the purchase. Idea, I'm bored. I'll just get on my phone, see what's happening. Exploration, so I saw something last week, got me a little excited. Justification, no big deal. Everybody else looks at this kind of stuff. Nobody knows that I'm doing this, so it's not going to hurt anybody who's around me, so it's all good. Plus, my wife hasn't looked at me in months, and so decision, I'm just going to look. Click, 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 click. We've made some serious decisions at this point. Where does it start? It always starts with an idea. Pops into our head, see something on TV, a friend of ours shows us something, we get a text message from somebody, an idea. We recognize what happens in those first moments of temptation are so critical. They're far more important than we often realize. And what we need to learn to do is we're going to decide ahead of time. We're going to decide ahead of time knowing that we are going to be tempted, right? We're going to decide ahead of time what we're going to do about that temptation so we don't fall into something that not only hurts the heart of God, but also is destructive in our own lives. The question becomes, how do we do that? The book of James basically shows us to do two things. First thing, if you're taking notes, is this, for getting out of temptation, first thing we're going to do is we're going to fight by submitting to God. Okay? We're going to fight by submitting to God. The first thing we do is we fight the temptation. We fight that idea by submitting ourselves to God. This is what James said in James chapter 4, verse 7. He says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and what is it he's going to do? He will flee from you. Now, a while back in my life, I had this process a little bit backwards. Okay, I thought that resisting the devil is the first thing that you're supposed to do. James says, no, the first thing that you need to do before you fight the devil is you actually submit to God. Why? Because we don't have the strength to do it on our own. Our sinful nature is too weak. You and I, we are not designed to live the victorious life all by ourselves. Every single one of us needs the help of Jesus. That's why, like we talked about last week, every single temptation that we experience is an opportunity to rely on Jesus, an opportunity to lean on Jesus. So we submit to God. The question then becomes, what does that mean for you? It can mean any number of things. How do you submit to God? For some, it means I need to acknowledge that what I am being tempted with is not something that is good. It's not something that is good, and that's where we need to start. Because we live in a day and age today of justifying in our own way. We say, everybody else is doing this. Why can't I do this? This is just the way that it is nowadays, right? Isn't this just how God made me anyway? If I didn't have this desire, if God didn't want me to have this desire, he wouldn't have given me this desire. And so God understands anyway. Or I just, you know what? I deserve this for once in my life. I deserve it. I should be able to. I've been working hard. I've been doing a lot. I deserve this. Nobody else knows. This will just be my one little thing. It'll just be between me and God, right? Listen to me carefully. if we are doing anything in our lives that is inconsistent with the Word of God, it's what's called a sin. And it needs to be eliminated from our lives. And some of us need to start there by acknowledging this thing I'm dealing with is not something I should be doing. This is something that is wrong. And we know that it's wrong. And we're maybe too proud to get help with it. Others, we need to submit to God and say, yeah, I need help. For some, it would be a deeper level of submission, though, and I don't know what it means to you, but I'll tell you what it means to me. Submission to God, for me, very honestly, it has to be a decision that I make every single day. I can't just live off of my submission to God a few days ago. And trust me, this is not something that's easy every single day. Some days it's easier than others. Some days it's more natural than others. But every single day, I have to make a conscious decision to follow, to submit to God. Not just follow him, but to submit to his ways every single day. Why? Because I am so easily distracted. Like, I am just very easily distracted. I can be all into God, and God, I am here for your glory. God, I am here to be your servant. God, I am here to do your work. There's a squirrel over there. That is a different kind of, that squirrel has wings on it. Look at that guy's truck. That is awesome. Look what they did to their house. I should do something like that to my house. You know, like, I get very, very distracted. For me, it has to be a daily, every single day, without exception, a decision to submit my life to Jesus. That is why a daily prayer has to manifest itself in some way. God saying, God, use me today. God, I give you my hands. Lord, may they be used only for your glory today. God, I give you my mind. May my mind think only on things that are good and admirable and lovely and pure, like your word tells me. And Lord, that I wouldn't think on things that are outside of what you have for me. God, that my feet, I give you my feet, that they would bring me towards some sort of a need that I can do something about today. If I don't do this every single day, it's a lot easier for me to just be vulnerable and fall into temptations. And here's what happens. What is temptation? Remember last week we said temptation is anything that promises us satisfaction at the cost of obedience to God. Anything that promises, if you do this, if you take this, you're gonna be satisfied. But we do that at the cost of obedience to God. It's inconsistent with God's truth, and it promises satisfaction, but it costs us our obedience. And what happens is every single one of us, we have a choice on what or whom will we rely upon. You have a choice. I can rely on this bottle. If this medicates me, this helps me, this makes me feel better, or I can rely on God. I can rely on food. This tastes so good. It's my reward. It's my comfort. Or I can rely on God. I can rely on that which promises satisfaction. Or I can rely on the only one who brings us true satisfaction and joy. And we all, every single one of us, we have the ability to make that choice. Because listen, God is not some divine micromanager who makes all of our decisions for us. He actually gives us a role to play. We make the decisions in these cases. That's why I have to daily submit myself to God, because the lies and the temptations of this world, listen, they can be so stinking appealing. And therefore it's God, I give you today every part of my being, that when I'm submitted to God, it's a lot easier to resist temptation. And when I'm not submitted to God, I become a lot more vulnerable, and it is so much more difficult to resist. So what do we do? First thing we do is we fight by submitting to God. The second thing James 4 tells us to do, if you're taking notes, this is obvious. The second thing that comes right out of that verse, we resist the devil. So first we fight by submitting to God. We do that work. We ask God, God, I need your help on this. I commit everything I am to you today. Then, once we've done that, we've got the Spirit of God in us, we resist the devil. We submit ourselves to God, then we resist the devil. How many of you ever heard someone say, you know, I just couldn't resist? I just couldn't resist. Oftentimes, they say that when they're buying something for you that you told them not to, right? They're like, what do you want for your birthday? You're like, you don't have to get me anything for your birthday. And they get you that thing. And they're like, I just couldn't resist, right? This isn't necessarily one of those cases where it's like, I just couldn't resist doing something good for you. But talking about those times where we just can't resist, no matter what it is. Listen to me. With Jesus, you can resist. With Jesus, you can resist. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and then he will flee from you. Resist the devil. I'll put it this way. When I was probably 8 or 9 years old, I was a little kid. That's about all I remember. I was very, very afraid of dogs. Okay. My brother had this experience where he got bit in the face by a German shepherd, and I was just like, dogs are bad. Dogs are evil. I don't want nothing to do with them. It didn't matter if it was like a big dog or a little chihuahua. I was terrified of dogs. And so one day I'm with my friend Matt in my backyard, and we didn't have a fence in our yard. We're just hanging out, I don't know, playing in the sandbox or something. And all of a sudden, like, Matt just gets up and he kind of screams and takes off running for the door. And I'm just like playing with my truck or digging or something. I'm like, where'd you go? And he's just like, ah, da, 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 da. And I turn around, and it's like Cujo, just right in my face, this big dog, and he's growling, he's snarling, he's got like stuff dripping out of his mouth, and I'm just like, what? I'm like petrified, I'm frozen, and it's kind of like one of those times where it's like, in my head, this transaction, like, what should we do here? If I run, he's bigger than me, he'll chase me down. If I stay here, he's kind of looking at me like I'm a T-bone, so what do I do? And I'm like, I'm kind of panicked, and when I'm panicked at this point, I'm freezing up. I'm like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And Matt's like, act like you're really big and make a lot of noise. And I'm like, you act like you're big and make a lot of noise. You're the one who ran away. And I'm like, well, I got to do something. So if I just sit here much longer, he's literally going to have me for lunch. So I'll give it a try. What's the worst that could happen? And so in my little 8 or 9 year old high-pitched voice kind of way, I stood up, put my arms up like this. I'm like, Aah! And this dog is just like a whoop, and it kind of runs off. And I'm like, yeah, that's what's up. Yeah, I've never been afraid of dogs before. It doesn't matter. Like I can take them out, and like. I'm like, you ran to the house, like why didn't you run to me? Why didn't you hide behind me? You knew I was gonna, you know, I'm taking it too far. But in a very real sense, this is what we do when we're attacked by the evil one, right? You are already submitted to God, and your confidence is not in yourself, right? In that situation, my confidence not in myself. That dog would have taken me out if he decided to call my bluff right then and there, right? Your confidence is in Christ inside of you. Whenever temptation comes in any form, our confidence is in Christ because we've already made a decision. God, I submit to you. I'm going to let you lead me not just to this, but through this and past it and beyond it. Whenever you see the enemy come up with what little bit of faith might be inside of you, you essentially just roar it out, okay? But greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than whatever this temptation is that is coming my way. And you recognize that Christ living inside of you is so much stronger than the wrong desires that may be in you also as well. Like Warren Wiersbe said, the Christian life is not a playground. It is a battleground. This life is not meant to be lived in this nice little whatever kind of way. We are in a war, church. A war for our very souls. Ephesians says we battle not against flesh and blood, but rather against the powers and the principalities of a very dark world that we're living in. So what we do, actually, is we fight with weapons that are also not of this world. Scripture says you have divine, powerful weapons. What kind of weapons do we have? We have the power of prayer. We can bring everything to our God who hears us. He hears our prayers. He does something with them. He does something about them. We can bring everything to our good God who cares. We have the helmet of salvation, We have the breastplate of righteousness. We have the shield of faith that blocks the fiery arrows of the evil one. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, by the way, to go on the offense with. We have the belt of truth. We have our shoes that are prepared with the gospel, the readiness of peace. Whenever temptation comes our way, you should say, you know what, temptation? I've been expecting you. I'm ready for you. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And then we fight back. We have come at this prepared. We've already sought God. We know that his strength is already in us. His word is hidden in our heart that we might not sin against him. And we stand our ground. And we can say truthfully, I've already submitted to God today. God is with me today. I have pre-decided not to give in. I know that his strength is in me. And then we fight back. One of the best ways to fight temptation is to eliminate it ahead of time. I'm gonna say that again. One of the best ways to resist temptation is to eliminate it ahead of time. For example, this is what Solomon was saying to his son. He wrote a book called Proverbs, which is basically a collection of wise sayings to set his sons up to succeed in life. And he says in Proverbs 4, starting with verse 14, it says, "Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers." Takes it a little further. He says, avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. Like, what's he even saying? Then you decide ahead of time. You decide ahead of time. Don't even set foot on this path. Don't even do it. Turn away from it. He's saying to his sons, watch this, because you guys aren't paying attention. He's saying, I'm going to say it in different ways. He's saying, sons, avoid it. Don't travel on it. Turn from it. Go your own way. It's like his sons are like, okay, dad, we get it. He's like, no, you're not getting it. Like, get yourself out of there. Run, Forrest, run. Do whatever you've got to do. Do a 180 and haul in the other direction, right? He's saying get away. One of the best ways that we resist temptation is we eliminate it ahead of time wherever we can. Honestly, we have too much to lose. There is too much to lose. For the sake of the gospel, we have too much to lose. When I look at my own life, I have too much to lose. I love my wife, my sons, my calling in life. There is too much at stake for me to flirt with temptations. One of the best ways we resist temptation is to make that daily choice, to eliminate it ahead of time wherever we can. And I need to do that as much as the next person. Before I was a pastor, I was a regular human being, right? What I'm going to do is ask myself this question: why in the world would I resist a temptation later when I have the option to eliminate it now? So whatever that looks like, again, as we look at this through the lens of whatever it is that we struggle with, got a problem with alcohol, stay away from the bar. You go to fill up your vehicle with gas, go to the gas station that doesn't have the liquor store attached to it. Whatever that looks like, so you don't go there. If you can't stop eating frozen pizzas when you go to the grocery store, avoid that aisle. Go to the toilet paper aisle. Nothing bad can happen in the toilet paper aisle, right? You make the decision ahead of time. I'm not gonna go there. You're at work and you're about to give in and do something you can't turn back from with the wrong person. You know that you're vulnerable. What do? Switch departments, I don't know. Switch jobs. You're like, are you that serious? It's that serious. It could be, you know, you love technology and so you know how to get around all the safeguards that you could put in place on your phone. So you don't do it because you'd get around them anyways. And you're very vulnerable to look at the wrong stuff. Let's get rid of the smartphone. Let's go back to the dumb phone, the one that flips open and doesn't have all the options on it, right? Why? Because why would you resist any temptation later that you could eliminate now? If we can't eliminate it now, it's going to be a lot more difficult to resist it later, right? I'm going to distance myself from that. One of the best ways to resist temptation, to cast it aside before it becomes an issue. The moment it becomes an idea, we can be already prepared. You can say, my mind is already submitted to Christ today. I have already agreed not to view something, say something I'll regret, do something dumb, walk on a certain path. The moment it becomes an idea, we immediately go to Jesus, because we know Hebrews 2:18, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. Because of this, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus isn't up there sitting next to God the Father saying, you know what? He done messed up again. Let's get him. No, he's saying, I came so that guy down there could experience freedom. That's why he did what he did. So you don't have to experience shame. You don't have to experience condemnation. You don't have to experience guilt. But instead of those things, you can experience hope. Why? Because our God is faithful. And he will never let you be tempted beyond that which you can bear. That when you are tempted, God will always provide a door to freedom. So Father God, I thank you so much for what you've done in our lives. I thank you for the ways that you work, both the ways that we see it and are prepared for you to do work, and ways that you blow us away. And so God, we thank you for what it is that you're doing. We give you praise. We give you the honor that you deserve, because God, you are holy. We are not. And we acknowledge that today. We don't deserve the love that you give us, yet you choose to give that love to us anyways. God, we thank you. You have a plan for us, and that plan is for good, and you desire for us to be restored to you as people who you love and people who you created in your own image. And so we pray today for your presence, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would equip us to serve you faithfully and to take the door that leads us to freedom. And so thank you, God, for people who are here today who want to serve you, honor you with their lives, and recognize that there is a potential vulnerability within us. And despite that vulnerability, God, I thank you that there are those here today who desire your power to help us be free. And so, God, we thank you that who the Son sets free is free indeed. And we thank you, God, that Christ in us is stronger than the wrong desires in us. And Father, I pray that we would be simply people who are submitted to you today, wholly beyond our own abilities. And that after we have submitted to you, we recognize the enemy's attacks and we resist him. Lord, we recognize that when we're submitted to you, temptation becomes much more resistible. And when we're not, we are much more vulnerable. So God, we submit to you. I thank you. You've shown us, many of us, something we can do to eliminate or at least distance ourselves from those temptations. So we ask that you go before us today. Lord, as we go our separate ways, we get back to regular life, we get back to the office, we get back to, in many cases, things that are going to challenge this. God, help us to take your truth and be ready with it. And speak it in, that we would declare your truth over whatever may be trying to trip us up, recognizing how crafty the enemy is and resisting it because we've submitted to you. We thank you, God, for what that means. Pray that you go before us. Thank you so much. We pray all these things in your Son's holy name. And all God's people agreed and said, amen.